from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're going to get back to the last Bay Bridge series for sure, which is coming up this weekend. And obviously there's a lot of emotions in a lot of different directions there. This Brandon Ayuk thing deserves our attention today, even though I know what a lot of the reaction is just by hearing the name right now. I know that there is a healthy, healthy portion of you that are like, I don't want to hear the name until this is over. Is it over? And no, it's not over. However, there is some commentary today that I think puts it under a new light. And I think that you're going to want to hear it. So at least you head into the weekend, if we don't get any news between now and 6 o'clock, at least you head into the weekend with everything that is the latest in terms of perspective on this thing. And Brandon was at practice again today, in sneakers, but watching closely and talking to high-level teammates. Speaking of high-level teammates, let's start with this interaction with Kay Adams and her FanDuel TV show, and she gets all of the big names to come talk to her, and today she got Debo. Listen to this exchange.
I'm worried about this team not being able to win the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk. Are you?
Am I worried?
Can this team win a Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk?
Can we win a Super Bowl without B.A.? I think B.A. is going to be a part of this team, so I mean, we don't have to worry about that.
Let's go.
It's a long pause.
Let's go. Well, not only is it a long pause, my favorite thing in the world is when people repeat the question back.
Because you're thinking of your answer.
Exactly right. Where were you last night? Where was I last night?
Where was I last night?
Last night? What was last night? Was it Tuesday?
Yeah.
And that's a great question.
Thank you, Buster. So listen to Debo again. Repeat the question back to Kay.
I'm worried about this team not being able to win the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk. Are you?
Am I worried?
Can this team win a Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk?
Can we win a Super Bowl without B.A.?
No.
I think B.A. is going to be a part of this team, so I mean, we don't have to worry about that.
No comment on that.
He does it twice. Are you worried? Am I worried? Can they win a Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk? Can we win a Super Bowl without Brandon?
I don't recall. I'm kind of lost right now.
Debo.
It does not matter.
We're not going to have to worry about it because I think Brandon Ayuk's going to be on the team. Brandon's not about wasting his time. He's out there at practice, literally steps off of the sideline every day right now. I don't know what little blade of grass is in the way between pen and paper. I have no idea. But that's interesting. I mean, 2 weeks ago, Christian McCaffrey slipped and called him a former teammate. Now Debo's answering a question of, we don't even have to worry about the idea of winning a Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk. And that's coming from the guy who might get cut next year because of Brandon Ayuk. I don't know. That's something.
I'm just reading some John Lynch quotes from today here.
Yeah, where he said, I wish I knew as to why there's no resolution.
He said, I'm not going to characterize any chances or anything. I could tell you this. It's been a long, arduous, hard process and a hard journey.
Yep.
And that's what I'm seeing on the ESPN tickers.
For sure. And he was asked, why is this not done? He said, I wish I knew.
We started this early and for whatever reason, haven't been able to get it across the finish line.
I mean, the latest rumor is about 3 years or 4 years. Niners want to do this over 3 years, plus this coming year. So that's four total. Brandon wants four more years, five total. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what's out there today. Which is interesting because usually the last years in contracts are the ones that don't mean anything because it's funny money. It's kind of like what Trent Williams has left on his deal.
You know, thinking about this from the Niners standpoint, I'd be super pissed that this is how my season is starting with all this drama going on.
No, aren't they part of it, though? They're part of why it's here.
Yeah.
They're the ones who, at minimum, they calculated that this would not happen, and they were wrong. Even if you side with them on all fronts. Because the reports are that they've come, I don't believe them, but the reports say they've matched what the Steelers were going to pay Brandon. And if that's the case, I think most fans would be like, all right, BA, this is on you now. You were going to take the Steelers deal. The Niners have matched it. But again, maybe that's average per year. I don't know if the guarantees are the same. I don't know if the number of years are the same. I don't know any of that stuff. But don't you think that most people would be like, Brandon...
Yeah.
They offered you extension, you said no.
Well, I wonder if some of
you a trade, you said no. Then they offered you another trade, you said no. And then they matched the offer of the team you were going to say yes to, and you said no.
I wonder what his teammates are thinking now.
Well,
which I think is more important than what the fans are thinking.
I don't know.
You can't get in everybody's head. My least favorite question is when someone, what's the mood of the team? Well, there's 53 guys. Some are happy, some are sad. Some are super excited.
Some are having a tough day.
Some are having a tough day.
Some have had their coffee.
Some are hungover, some aren't. I mean, it's not the mood of all. But, you know, based on, you know, being in some clubhouse environments, like, I'm sure there's some people going like, dude, it's time, let's go. And there's probably others going, get yours.
Sure.
But then when he walks through that door into the locker room, they're all going to hug him.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to congratulate him. The only way this gets weird from a clubhouse and a locker room chemistry standpoint is if work ethic and attitude changes. So he signs the deal. He gets his deal. He held out. Is it the same Brandon Ayuk as it was when he was hungry to get this contract?
That's
or does he take a deep breath? Is he blocking downfield like he used to? Is he running the routes when the play isn't designed for him on the backside when he's the third option as hard as he used to, just in case Brock goes, bip, bip, oh, there's Ayuk. Or is he just jogging those routes?
I think you're right.
So there's human nature when you work your whole life to sign a big deal and you get there, you take a deep breath. Kind of saw it with Jordan Poole a little bit. That all of a sudden... Are you the same guy with the same work ethic? So as a teammate of his, if anything changes where all of a sudden he's this different person than he was and it's costing me a chance to win a ring, that's when this whole thing could go south. Not at how long he sits out.
I think you're right.
Not how much money he's asking for the years, because it's all get yours, get yours, get yours. There might be a small fraction of the team that's going, get your butt in camp, bro. They're not going to say it to him.
Sure.
They might be whispering it over here. And that's when you start to get a little of the weirdness. But the real weirdness will come is if the contract changes the person.
I think that's a fair point. And maybe this is unfair for me to assume. I have the hardest time believing that the 49er culture would allow that. You know what I mean? Debo has come in and is pushing so hard. By all accounts, and we did, I went down and watched it one day. He does. He looks phenomenal. And he is playing so hard, and he's first to show up, and he's first in line at the receiver drills. And the Niners have already signed another receiver who's a downfield guy. And all of this stuff, like, I have the hardest time believing that on this team with how hard it's been for them to get over the top. Brandon Ayuk, even with a new contract, is going to come in and half-ass. That would surprise the hell out of me. But I think your point is well taken.
That's a concern with organizations when they commit to a long-term contract.
Sure.
Will this change the person?
Sure.
And that's when your evaluators, I always just, no matter if it's baseball, football, or basketball, self-scouting is the most important aspect of an organization, knowing your own players through and through.
Well, I also think with human beings, sometimes that happens even when you don't intend it to. I think in our minds we go, oh, you got fat and happy, so you just sat back and relaxed. I think sometimes people, even though they're like, okay, I signed my contract and now full speed ahead, like I'm gonna go be great for you, and that's your intent, but then you don't actually do that because it's hard. It's hard to remove from the back of your mind that you're like, I'm safe now. I'm taken care of. I just am. I'm taken care of.
Like it's human nature to take totally. A deep breath and say, I've arrived.
I'm taken care of. And Brandon's already been through that once, even without the money. I mean, that was what, by all accounts, led to Kyle Shanahan being mad at Brandon in year two.
Well, maybe that's the holdup here, and that's the concern that this money will change the person.
I don't know. I mean, he came in and had just what we would call a very solid rookie campaign, and the reports suggest that he showed up the next year, and Kyle was like, oh, goodness, you think your bleep don't stink anymore. And this is only year two. You haven't even done anything yet. You haven't won a Super Bowl. You haven't gone for 1,000 yards. And you're like a different person. So sure, it already happened once. But Brandon reacted to that well and became better. I would be surprised. I agree with you, but I'd be surprised if that happened.
I've seen it happen to the most unlikely of dudes, man.
I bet.
In all my travels, I've seen guys have more trouble dealing with success than failure.
Give me names.
No.
Give me names.
Nope. Hey, but you signed the contract. You change. Money changes you, man. Fame changes you. Success changes you. I would say it's less common for a guy to sign a big deal and work harder to be great than the other way around.
For sure.
The one thing that comes to mind with me is Max Scherzer. He signed this humongous deal and he worked even harder to live up to it. Like he wanted to be great. And the biggest compliment you can give an athlete that signs a huge deal is to never talk about the deal. Nobody ever said, oh, Max got 7 for $210. Are you kidding me with that? Nobody ever brought up his contract ever because it's all he did was go out and win Cy Youngs and throw no-hitters. So the money was never brought up.
Well,
but his work ethic went to a whole different level, and he was always trying to reinvent himself every year.
I think the 49ers have an example of what you're saying with Max Scherzer, and it's Fred Warner. Fred Warner got better. Fred got signed, and then he went from one of the best linebackers in the game to, my opinion, best linebacker in the game.
That's something that's in there or it isn't in there. Yeah. You can't teach that.
I think Kittle was already great, stayed great. I'd argue that the early returns on Debo and Nick's season went down. You can blame it on one of two other things if you want. We won't know till we get more evidence. Was it missing camp or was it a Steve Wilks system that didn't fit his eye and his ear? I don't know.
He didn't like Steve Wilks.
He did not. And so that, like, we'll see going forward. By the way, for the "we didn't like Steve Wilks" crowd, there were some comments made by D'Amador Lenore to Richard Sherman that we should play coming up here in a few minutes that are pretty damn interesting. Pretty interesting. I give you the Cliff's Notes. D'Amador Lenore said, I tried to go to Steve Wilks and tell him that I should be in the slot in the Super Bowl, and it never went anywhere. And I really I studied the living hell out of this tape, and I saw what they were doing, and I should be in the slot, and I think we would have won the game. And it went nowhere. And Richard's like, you should go to Kyle next time.
Wow.
Go to Kyle next time with that thought. So, whatever. That's neither here nor there for this conversation. The early returns on Debo Samuel. You had the greatest season of your life, and then you requested a trade, and then you got paid, and you showed up fat. And you have not been, you've been great, but you have not been as good since.
Get fat shame, Debo.
Well, his words, he said it. He said it.
I thought he was just, he put on some weight like Patrick Bailey did in the
offseason. But he looks phenomenal this year.
looks phenomenal. Number this one, year. By the way. Like, I love too, him in number one. I think it looks way better than 19.
I know, but that was like his nickname. Like, all of his social media was 19 problems. I loved that.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Now he's got one problem.
Plus,
so that's way better.
Well, but my son, I got him a phone, and like in order to remember the passcode, because I had to set the passcode for him.
1111?
No, I set it as his three like sort of favorite 49ers who had numbers that would fit. And so hopefully none of you find my son's phone, because now you will all know the passcode. But anyway, I go, this is how I want you to remember your passcode. Purdy Debo Ayuk. Purdy Debo Ayuk. Purdy Debo Ayuk. And that, and now the number is wrong.
Mine would be 168780.
Montana Clark Rice.
Yeah, okay. I might do that right now.
Okay, do
that's
that.
That's going to be my new passcode, you guys, to everything.
Steve Young's like, what the hell?
To my bank account and everything.
Thank you. Thank you, Shohei Ohtani, for giving us access to your bank account.
168780. That's good. I got to put that in something.
Yeah. So anyway.
Can you give me your routing number, please?
Thank you.
That is my routing number.
Yeah. Grandy, what? Now let's do the Kyle thing. I have it right here, but what did you want to sort of set up?
Yeah, so it's just an interesting answer from Kyle that kind of sent this whole thing down the road. He was asked, essentially, if there will be a point this preseason, this training camp, where the Niners will approach Ayuk and just say, hey, Brandon, either start practicing or we're going to fine you. I know you're holding in to get out of the fines, but will there come a point where you just force him one of those two options? And here's how Kyle answered that question.
You got it or me?
I mean, I think it has to do with when they have injuries and stuff, so I don't sit there and kind of play that game. That's how the league works right now. I mean, that's how the rules are. You have a hold in, guys usually have something wrong with them, so they can keep doing that, and so I just coach the team.
Okay. So what he sort of suggests is that the hold-in thing can be extended because guys can just say they're hurt. Okay, so use that premise.
I'm back.
Mike Silver then asks this follow-up question.
I want to make sure I understand. Are you saying if there's a hold-in and you force the issue that you would expect like a Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville type of situation where, oh, my back hurts and I'm just not playing?
I'm just saying when you guys call it a hold-in, and I'm not disagreeing with you guys on that, but people say that they're hurt. I think BA's got a sore back right now, and it is what it is.
He does have one? Like legit?
I don't know if it's legit, but he's saying that that's what he's saying. Brandon Ayuk is out with a back injury right now.
49ers are going to go 3-14.
We're not done. We're not done.
Oh, my soap operas.
But wait,
why didn't Hard Knocks do the Niners? They missed out.
But wait, there's more. Kyle was asked to address the idea of fans wondering why the 49ers are risking a great chance to win a Super Bowl just to save a few bucks.
I understand the question, yeah, but I mean, I don't look into anything just as a one-year deal. I think everything's tied together. I think we're as aggressive as we can be every year, and everything is connected to each other, too. And wherever you go one spot, you got to go less at another. So it's not as simple as that perspective. I totally get that from a fan standpoint and everything. If it was that simple, I think it'd be a lot easier to figure things out. But too many things do connect and tie together with that, and that's why these things can be difficult.
That's a totally fair answer.
I agree.
That's a completely fair answer that I've been trying to find a way to sort of like hammer down the last few weeks. There's no way to do this, but I wish that when there was a contract squabble, a team could just go, okay, here's what's at play. We can give him $2 million more dollars. It means that Charvarius Ward, Diamalur Lenore, and maybe Debo Samuel are not on the team next year. Y'all good with it now? Y'all want us to just give him the $2 million?
Yeah, I don't care about next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That can be your answer.
I want all my chips in the middle. I'm all in.
Okay. And I think that's
2024.
And I think that's a hellacious approach, but you're welcome to have it.
The window, I don't think the window will ever close with the Niners because they're always going to sign and spend money and have good players and they have a great coaching staff and front office and ownership. But, .. You're right there, man.
Sure.
You're right there. I see, this is where I'm narrow-minded. Usually I have the 20,000-foot view, but I'm all in on this year. I want a Super Bowl. I want a parade right down here in February.
I don't disagree.
Right here. And then I don't care about 2025.
I do.
I don't.
I do.
Not
I,
now. I'll care then.
No, I,
care
I want.
Now.
I want them to be relevant all the time.
They will be. But they have a chance to win it all right now.
They do.
They were that close.
And they
and
don't,
it's the same people.
They don't think that they're risking it. It's not all the same people.
It's pretty much
it's
the
not.
Same people.
It is. It's not.
It is.
The whole defensive line is new. The whole defensive staff is new. It's not the same people. Drake Greenlaw may not play this year. It's not the same people.
They're better.
Maybe they are. Maybe they're worse. I don't know. I don't think the Niners think that they are lessening their effort this year. I think they think that Trent Williams is definitely going to be there, and Brandon has been a migraine headache, level headache. They did not realize it would go like this. And yes, they deserve some of the blame for that. But I don't think that the Niners think that they are not all in on 2024. But they also, they have to keep an eye on every year. That's their job. You can't be, you know this. You can't be like that.
You I'm a fan. I can be however I want to be.
No, no, I'm saying a
I'm
team.
Not a GM.
You can be like that, but a team can't be like that. They can't be like, all right, all chips in this year. And then Brock Purdy breaks a leg in week one. And
oh, now, don't even
no,
say
but
that.
Dude, you like, ugh. Come on.
That's gross.
You can't manage a business that way. You can't. You can't be stupid and in the NFL be like, it's all about 1 year. And that's it. Nothing else matters. You can't do that. Other stuff does matter. You can't say nothing else matters.
No, I understand. I'm of the mindset that I focus on the now. And maybe that's the athlete. Remember I told you I didn't know where the plane was going half the time when we were on road trips? Because you were so focused on that three-game series. You take the bus to the airport, get on the charter, and be in the, where are we going? There's other guys, though, that knew the schedule in and out. Like,
well, that's their way.
Pods yesterday. He knew the schedule. I'm like, man.
He knows
when
what
you asked him that schedule question, I thought for sure you're getting a, no, we don't look at the schedule.
He and threw he's out like, the date. He's like, February 21st, we're going to Milwaukee.
And then we have the Christmas game against so-and-so. We forgot to say, I think, did we mention November 12th? Clay's returning? That's the big game.
Well, he mentioned it. He still called it the in-season tournament. Did you know it's not even called that anymore? Changed it.
We didn't talk about that after. I was blown away that that was a goal for him because I thought the NBA players thought that thing was a joke.
They do. He's being told what to say there.
Oh, was he?
Well, that's my interpretation.
It's
like,
whoa.
No, because Steve Kerr does it too. He's taking his cues from the organization. The NBA has clearly
things like
there's a memo that went out and be like, guys, you're making extra money for this. Play it up. That's how I feel.
He really wanted to say the floors make me dizzy and I want to throw up during that.
Did you know that it's called the NBA Cup now?
Is it really?
They changed the name. It's not the in-season tournament.
You got to get the sponsor in there, the Emirates NBA Cup.
You couldn't say that in baseball.
It's sponsored by the United Arab Emirates?
Just you could, Emirates.
You couldn't say MLB Cup because that would have a whole different meaning. You couldn't say it. So it's the NBA Cup? They
NBA
don't wear
Cup.
Cups.
It's
you better football. Be careful.
Football players don't wear them. I found that, and then they told me why. You can't wear a cup in football because if there's contact there, the thing breaks, and then it could do some big-time damage.
Oof.
So they don't wear cups. Nobody wears cups in the NFL.
That's crazy.
No, it actually, the way it was explained to me makes sense because
yes,
if that cup breaks, now we're talking like, oof.
Yeah.
Guillotine action.
Something about Mary's situation.
Yeah, so they don't wear them.
Yeah, okay.
Don't talk about that.
Let's not. All right, join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by Atco Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. 888-957-957 is the number. Coming up next, Adam Schefter with some fresh sound with regard to the Aiyuk situation. And do you want to hear what D'Amato Lenore and Richard Sherman said back and forth to one another about the Super Bowl last year? That is all coming up next. FP's in for Dibs, Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm worried about this team not being able to win the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk. Are you?
Am I worried?
Can this team win a Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk?
Can we win a Super Bowl without B.A.? I think B.A. is going to be a part of this team, so I mean, we don't have to worry about that.
Let's go.
No comment on that.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
The more I listen to it, the more I love it. You get two repeated questions, you get a long pause, you get an answer to the question that's not actually an answer to the question, and then you get Kay Adams at the end just being like, let's go. That's very good. That's very entertaining as far as a back and forth.
He had a long time to think of his answer based on she asked the question twice, and he was already going, in between the two questions.
Right.
He was already giving the, I'm thinking of my answer. Then she asked the question in a different way, and then he went,
Listen again. Kay Adams, FanDuel TV.
I'm worried about this team not being able to win the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk. Are you?
Am I worried?
Can this team win a Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk?
Can we win a Super Bowl without B.A.? I think B.A. is going to be a part of this team, so I mean, we don't have to worry about that.
Let's go.
Let's go.
That's a good answer. There was a long pause where he said, should I say no? Should I say yes? Should I stay out of this? I don't know what to say. And then he nailed it.
I don't know why I find that so entertaining, but I do. I do. By the way, speaking of Kay Adams interviews, let's play what we promised to play. But she got into an interesting conversation today with Fred Warner. And wait till you hear what Fred said. Woo! So we can get into that in a few minutes. But check it out. Here's the latest from Adam Schefter, NFL Live, ESPN.
The 49ers have wanted to re-sign him, but haven't done it yet. They've talked to other teams about trading him, but haven't done it yet. And every time it looks like a solution is on the horizon, whether that be a long-term extension in San Francisco or a trade to Cleveland, New England, or Pittsburgh, it doesn't materialize, and the situation just continues to drag on there in San Francisco, it's the type of thing that can be resolved very quickly, like later today, or it could drag on to the start of the season, and even the 49ers are having a hard time figuring out exactly when, if, and how this is going to come to an end.
Even the 49ers are having a hard time figuring out when, if, and how this is going to get resolved. But he also insinuates that whatever it is that's holding it up is minuscule. Could be figured out in an hour. Might have already been figured out after practice.
When you get so sick of this, you just like, let's trade him. This is becoming too big of a distraction. We need to focus on the Lombardi trophy.
I think that already happened. And then they circled back out of it. Well, no, because I don't think that they liked the idea of what was being presented back to them. Like I said this all month long. If there is a trade of Brandon Ayuk, and again, this is circumstantial. I would not have said this before the draft. If there's a trade right now of Brandon Ayuk, both teams that involve themselves in it are stupid. That's stupid. There's a game in 3 weeks. You got a game in 3 weeks. You're going to trade one of your best players when you're supposed to be winning a Super Bowl. And whoever acquires Ayuk, what on earth are you doing? You're going to give up players, multiple draft picks, and then sign a receiver to $30 million plus? What on earth are you, like, who do you think Brandon Ayuk is?
And then draw plays in the sand for 3 weeks because he doesn't know the playbook?
What are you doing?
Or the terminology, the verbiage, any of that stuff?
Like, just like, pretend you're the Browns. Let's say the Browns had done that.
Okay.
And with 3 weeks to go before the season, the Browns are like, all right, we'll give you Amari Cooper, a 2, a 5, and sign Brandon to $30 million a year.
Makes no sense.
What the hell are you doing? Like, what? Why would you do that? I think a lot of this has just been public immaturity. I think we're all getting played. I don't think half of the stuff that we've been talking about is even really happening behind the scenes. I don't think the Niners want to trade Brandon, and I know for a fact that Brandon doesn't want to be traded. So all this stuff is just who's you know what is bigger than who's you know what.
No, I think it's connecting the dots to, like you said, like they got beat by Bosa last year, the 49ers is his contract. They're thinking about Brock Purdy on the horizon, the people they need to sign next year. Do we want to tie up? Is this going to change the guy? Is he still going to work as hard as he did before? Is he still going to be the route runner? Is he going to be still as dedicated and hungry and devoted to this whole thing? There's so many questions right now. And then Ayuk wants this year and this much and this guaranteed. And this is how you get this. When it gets to this point, we know this much. I always say when we know this much, it's really discombobulated behind the scenes.
Yeah, like,
to get this far.
No, it's about money. Like the questions you're bringing up, I would argue if they have questions about that, then they shouldn't have offered him an extension at all. If you're really sitting there going, I don't know if Brandon's going to keep trying after this extension. Well, then what would be the difference between 26 and 28? Don't give him 26 either. Don't extend him if you think he's going to stop trying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's why self-scouting. They know their. You have to know your personnel, everything about them.
Way better than we do, yes.
Everything about them. On the field, off the field, family, diet, party habits, work ethic. Are they tough? Are they injury prone? Are they always... I mean, you got to self-scout. FP, this is obvious. You'd be surprised how many organizations in baseball, is all I know, that don't self-scout enough.
Yep. I believe it.
You got to self-scout your own personnel in the minor leagues. You got to self-scout your own personnel in the big leagues. You got to self-scout your own coaches. You got to know your people better than anybody else can even think about knowing your people.
You want to hear the D'Amador Lenore with Richard Sherman thing?
Sure.
This is good. This is good. Check this out. So this is on the Richard Sherman podcast. And this is a little bit of a right turn, and I'm sure it might be welcome for a lot of you because I know how much Brandon Ayuk fatigue there is out there.
Yeah.
All right, so check, because this caught my attention yesterday. D'Amador Lenore, who, for those of you Niner fans who, I don't know, a little bit more on the just kind of casual tip, like, Lenore started to pop last year, definitely, and the internal talk and vibe on him this year is that you're looking at somebody who's going to be one of the next really good corners in this league. And he's also someone who the Niners, you know, all anyone talks about is Purdy's contract. Lenore's one of the guys they really want to keep. And so that's one of the reasons every dollar matters, is this guy's going to matter. All right. He goes on with Richard Sherman, and they were talking about the Super Bowl.
I talked to Wilkes before the game, and I was just telling him how I was feeling. You know, I was like, you know, me, I watch a lot of film, so I was just seeing where the ball was going. And I was like, it's mainly in between the hashes, you know, it's going to the slots. Like, they don't really got no dominant outside guy. Right. So, like, I was telling them, like, I feel like I should be in the slot this game. Like, I never came to him, never, because I never questioned the coach, never questioned decisions or nothing. I came to him. That was the only time I came to him, and I said that. But, you know, they had their philosophy and what they felt worked, well, what was going to work, and they made that decision. So I was like, all right, I'm going to just roll with it, and I'm going to just try to do what I can to help us win.
Well, look, I'm going to tell you this from experience, and as an old man who don't play no more, just go talk to Kyle.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, at that point, look, if you get any kind of feeling in your heart, any kind of inkling, any kind of, just go talk to Kyle. Let it, hey, it's his team. Is this what he want to do with it? Because I think that'll move the needle next time. Like, if you'd have said that to him, you'd have been playing inside the Super Bowl. And that would have been the end of it. Like, he would have lived with it. He would have lived with it because it was a gut feeling from you. It's one of those things, the universe and the energy and all that. It would have happened just like that.
Wow. And where'd the game-winning touchdown in overtime come from?
That's where he lined up.
Slot, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all kinds of things that happened before that even. But I just thought, that was a tremendously insightful conversation with regard to something that we would never know. We would never know that. We would never get that kind of access to information. And again, this is not to slam Steve Wilkes. I've said the same thing about that situation all year last year. I think Steve Wilkes is a phenomenal coach. I thought it was
why? Why? Their defense was horrible.
I'm talking about in terms of his resume. He's got a long resume in the NFL, and he's a good coach. But I clearly believe he was not the right choice for here. And that's not all on him. That's on Kyle, too. Kyle's the one who hired him. But all I needed to see, and I said this to someone in the organization very recently, just knowing how media works and how players and coaches handle media, as soon as I watched Kyle Shanahan go to a podium after the Vikings game and use the sentence, Steve knows he messed up.
Yeah.
The second he said that, I'm like, this relationship is dead. Dead.
You never hear a coach talk about another coach.
Capital.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for
this. No, you're not. No one is. Maybe you can handle it emotionally.
Did I say the defense was horrible? They weren't horrible. They weren't as good as they were the year before
Something was missing.
Teams were running the ball down their throats.
So it's not to blame Steve. It's to blame the relationship between Kyle and Steve. The whatever. Whatever's in that sauce just wasn't right. And they knew it. They knew it by week freaking seven. Yeah,
I mean, if you paid attention to the games, you knew it.
Yes.
Like, Fred was confused on the sidelines a lot. And then Wilkes was up in the booth. And remember talking about, I used to call him Steve Wilkes Booth. It may be too soon for it's too soon for that, maybe. I don't know.
It's not too soon. It's been like 400 years.
And you could just see that they were used to engaging with whomever on the sidelines.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he wasn't there. And in real time, there's no substitute for looking me in the eye and looking you in the eye and saying, what do we think about this? What do we think about that? I need this and reinforcement and that. And it doesn't come on a telephone. And so I thought it was paramount that he came down on the sidelines. I don't care if you can see stuff up there better than the sidelines or not. Those guys needed you on the sidelines because that's what they were accustomed to. So that was a big deal. We were talking about the defensive coordinator way too much last year.
You may be right on that, but I actually think it has to go deeper than that. It also has to be schematic, and I think it definitely, like, there were there were defensive players who said that. They said that into microphones.
Yep.
Nick Bosa being at the front of the line, for whatever reason, Nick was uncomfortable. And I know that there's some feelings there with regard to how this all played out for Steve, and he was a scapegoat, and gosh, their defense was great in the Super Bowl, and it was amazing at Jacksonville coming out of the bye, and sure, you're going to find games where it was good. That's wonderful. Doesn't matter. This is not a, you know, this is not a like quarter by quarter assessment. Bottom line is what you watch the Detroit Lions do to the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC Championship game in the first half should never, ever, ever, ever happen with the talent that they have.
Agreed.
That should never happen. And whoever you want to blame, that's for you. Blame whoever you want. But something was freaking wrong.
They were thinking and not reacting.
Oh, my God.
And
something
was awfully
wrong. And 2 years
before, they were flying around like maniacs with their hair on fire, and there was 5 helmets around every tackle, 6, 7 helmets around every tackle. And they just they were comfortable with what they were doing. And last year, it looked like they were thinking and then doing and thinking and then doing. Which is the NFL, as we all know, is like this. And if you got to think for a second what your assignment is, it's too late.
Dude, the proof is going to be in the pudding. It is actually very high on my list in terms of what I'm looking for when September 9th gets here. I want to watch this defense. I want to watch this defense and look at whether or not they look much more aligned and in tune and fast and in the right spot. And not talking to each other after plays and stuff like that. But I'm watching that all year last year. And you're going to have all kinds of new characters in there now, right? Like, you're going to have a new... You got Floyd out there on the other edge now. Dre Greenlaw's not going to be ready at the start of the year. So you're going to have new things going on in the linebacking core. Is Hufanga ready? I don't know. Secondary, by all accounts, looks like it might be the strongest group. That's kind of new and different. It's usually built around the defensive line. Maybe it still will be. Will Hargrave look like we thought he was going to look? I thought largely he did not last year look like we thought he was going to look. Baldinger came on this station and says my favorite free agent that anyone signed this offseason. And then largely it was just kind of like, eh. I want that to look different. This is one that may be the... I know everyone else with all the headlines. Is Ayuk out there and is... Let's argue about Brock Purdy some more. Okay, I want to know if this defense looks like they know what the hell's going on this year.
Really quick, you mentioned Hufanga. He did have a checkup today. Yeah. Kyle Shanahan said it came out well and that he's been cleared to ramp up his physical activity.
Yeah, let's go.
To rip some heads off.
Let's go, Huff.
2022... Niner defense is the first time ever in my football fandom career that I was more excited for a defense to take the field for the team I'm rooting for than the offense.
Mm-hmm.
When they came on the field, I would get jacked up. I'm watching the game. I'm like, let's go. Like, what other city or team has a defense that's this exciting? Last year it was hit and miss. For whatever reason.
Yeah, last
year. I blamed it on Steve Wilkes.
No, they...
And I'm not a coach hunter ever. Yeah. My dad was a coach, so that's on the totem pole of blame for me. That's always where the last thing I go to.
Yeah, you can blame it on Steve, but Kyle hired Steve. It was just a bad situation. It was not the right mix, and that happens. That happens when you hire people. You know what I mean? No matter what your business is. You think it like it's no different than Marco Luciano, for crying out loud. You think someone's going to be one thing, whoops, it's different, whatever. So... Again, for me, blame whoever you want, but I am very glad that that group has been reworked, and I hope that everybody is on the same page more now.
I'm getting excited.
Yeah,
right now. I want football.
See, let's
right
talk
now.
Football.
Let's go.
That's what I mean, this defense. You want to know how good Brock Purdy's going to be if the defense is the number one ranked defense in the NFL?
Oh, my gosh. Let's go.
Do you want to know how good Brock Purdy's going to be if that happens? If they're the number one defense in football, he getting $60 million next
year. Football, this is going to sound weird. Football is my favorite sport. I grew up in a football family.
That's fine.
Played baseball because I had to. Just look at me.
I know a lot of pro athletes who would say that. That the sport they played is not their favorite sport.
And there's nothing like fall to me. It's my favorite season. Mm-hmm. And then you start talking about Saturdays in college football, which might be a little weird this year, but I'm still into it. College Game Day is my favorite show in the history of television, and it's just getting better every year with Pat McAfee on there.
I'm sorry.
Coach Corso's poor Coach Corso, who I love.
Yeah, I know.
But then Sunday. Like, Sunday. Let's go. There's nothing like the NFL. The NFL's here, and every other pro sport is way down here.
Can I tell you how?
I'm getting excited just talking about it.
Can I tell you how big Sunday in the fall is? Sunday is so big that some of my best friends in life, we've been on a text chain trying to figure out a date, a weekend where we can all just kind of do an annual get together. And we had a date that was set, and now it looks like it's going to fall through, and we got to find a new date. And one of them will send all these dates. Like, well, we could do this day, we could do that day, we could do that day. I text them back right away. I go, remove the Sundays. That's off.
Oh, you mean not to watch football, just to get together?
No, like, yeah, to go play golf.
No.
Or to go, like, wine tasting.
What kind of friends do you have?
Take your Sundays off my text right now. Second thing, I'm signing the little guy up for a basketball program, a fall basketball program.
Nothing on Sunday.
And they said was, during this window of 2 months, we get two practices a week and we're going to have four games. And I'm like, all right, sounds great. He needs it. Kid needs something to do, right? Dad's working, right? Okay. They just sent out the schedule yesterday and they're like, oh, here are the game dates.
They're all Sunday?
It's all Sunday.
Oh.
And I swear to God, I almost went, I need my money back.
Put that kid up for adoption.
But it's actually okay because the way the team operates, I hate to break it to the kid, but like, he'll get a ride with his coach. Dad might not be at all the games.
But for work.
We'll see. For work.
For work. You got to watch the Niners for work.
Or I'm hoping, make those games at 9 in the morning. Let's go. Let's get up. Let's get some breakfast.
Well, unless it's East Coast.
9 to 10.
If the Niners are on the East Coast, that's not going to work.
I'll be back. I'll be ready. Hopefully the game's just down the street.
My favorite part about moving back to California 3 years ago is that 10 a.m. I hated the East Coast. I had to wait till 1 o'clock for the first game, and the second game was 4 o'clock. Monday Night Football, I couldn't even stay up for.
You're so right.
But rolling out of bed on a Sunday, and there's a Niners game on,
that ego,
and you're having like a Bloody Mary at bus stop watching the Niners game.
It's not even just that. That East Coast ego about we know how to do sports and blah, blah, blah. I always make fun of them.
No.
I'm like, you have no clue. Like, the Sunday night game comes on, and you're like, your house is dark in the fourth quarter. The kids are asleep on a school night, and you can't cheer out loud because it's midnight.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And my God, what are you doing? Waiting around for 1 o'clock for football to start is the most painful experience. I was there for work one time on the East Coast. I think it was in, might have just been Chicago, for an NFL Sunday. And you got to 11 o'clock, and I'm like, what do you all do with your lives? What are we doing? Are we running errands? Are we mowing the lawn? What is happening? Start the games already.
Yeah,
it's brutal. I hate it. I can't, like, I couldn't move to the East Coast just for that.
Hey, I lost my excuse for not going to Mass when I lived on the East Coast.
Right? Well, people are showering and getting nice clothes
I got to go to church
now. Like, this is terrible.
The game doesn't start till 1.
I'm like, this is the worst place on earth.
Got my whole day's... Yeah, the 1 o'clock start, then the 4 o'clock start, and then the night game. I never got through Sunday night football, Monday night football, or Thursday night football ever.
8:30 at night.
I'm talking good games, too.
Right.
And
the
just
pregame shows, like, here we go.
I'm like, what happened last night in the fourth quarter? I fell asleep. Never got through any of them.
Terrible.
So, yeah, the West Coast is the best coast.
So sorry, East Coast. You're terrible.
You're awful.
You're terrible at this. You guys are...
kind of miss it a little bit. The vibe in New York.
No, there's some good things.
There's some good energy back there.
But NFL watching is not one of them.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to hear this real quick, and then we can talk this out? Remember the Fred Warner talked to Kay Adams?
Kay
Adams is kind of crushing it.
She is crushing it. Good for her.
I don't know what you're about to say.
No, she does a very good job.
You better be careful.
She does a great job.
She really does. She does. Kay does a wonderful job.
She's still in the Bay Area. She might be listening.
Good.
Kay,
tell her to call in.
Kay, you're doing a wonderful job.
What number?
888-957-9557.
916.
Kidding. And there are a lot of people who think Kay is a very beautiful woman as well. All right.
All right.
Okay. Here's what Fred Warner said to her.
from day one, I've been a Brock Purdy fan, and I always will be. I think he's one of the best in the league, and soon he will be the best, undisputed, right? But, you know, practice, I'm not about to talk about no practice. I mean, right. If people want to make something out of practice with interceptions and all that other stuff, it's, listen, you obviously have never been in the NFL if you're out there writing stories about interceptions in practice. But like Debo mentioned, he's going against one of the best defenses in the league. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, it's all good. We're not worried about that.
Oh, my gosh. He couldn't have said it any better. I get so upset every year when we're reporting on Brock Purdy's practices. Allen Iverson is out there rolling his eyes somewhere.
But did you catch that he said that he's going to be the best quarterback in the whole league?
Maybe.
All right. I mean, I'd love to chop that up with you for a sec here. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. FP's in for dibs. 888-957-9570. That is the number for Kay Adams and everybody else on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.